B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What was important to her, what was important to me is our family and our relationship. And at different times, like any married couple, you know, things need to be changed. And, you know, there was, you know, a couple of years ago we had, you know, she didn't feel like I was doing my part for the family, you know, and she felt like I would play football all season and she would take care of the house. And then all of a sudden when the season would end it, I'd be like, great, let me get into all my other business activities. Let me get into, you know, my football training. And she's sitting there going, well, when are you going to do things for the house? When are you going to take the kids to school and do that? Right. And that was a big part of our marriage that I had to like check myself, because she's like, I have goals and dreams too. It's just not to, you know, do these things either. So you better start, you know, taking care of things at the house. So 2 years ago, as it related to even football for me, I had to make a big transition in my life to say, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do for football like I used to. I need, you know, I got to take care of things in my family, because my family was, the situation wasn't great. She wasn't satisfied with our marriage.
More convenient bullcrap from Tom Brady. We'll get back to him in a minute. Just a reminder, Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Let me just close the loop or finish the thought that I had before we went to break concerning Major League Baseball and what players or what the league will do with players who don't want to play here amidst this pandemic if and when baseball returns. And again, no groundbreaking development here. I just think, to me, from what I understand, if a guy does not want to play and come back, he's not going to be forced to play and come back. I don't know how Major League Baseball could actually impose that on someone. There are going to be people in the workplace, in the real world, who have concerns about coming back to work in a crowded environment, given the realities of COVID-19. There are going to be people in the sports world that have the same concerns. What baseball is probably going to do with those players is put them on some sort of commissioner's exempt list. They will not play the season. They will not be paid, but they will not also be punished, or also will not be punished in any sort of way. What I'm interested in finding out is a guy like Trey Mancini of the Baltimore Orioles, who has a medical reason to not play. And the reason I say that is Trey Mancini has stage 3 colon cancer. He's vulnerable. He's susceptible. He can't come back and play plays for the Baltimore Orioles. To me, a guy like Mancini should be paid whatever the other guys in the game are being paid. Whether it's a prorated part of his salary or not, he doesn't have a choice. Maybe he wants to play and it's being taken away from him for medical reasons. But the guys who choose not to play out of, you know, purely their decision and choice, those guys are not going to be played, I don't think, and are going to be placed on some sort of exempt list. And that'll, you know, again, that's by their choice, so they will understand that going in. Murray and Murray, Joe and Jim, any thoughts or issues with that as we, you know, as I just mentioned it?
No. No.
Okay. as it pertains to Tom Brady, I told you, you all know how I feel about Brady and leaving Boston. I think, you know, to me, this is not about being resentful of Brady for leaving Boston and then beating the crap out of him. It's Brady, the self-promoter, that I'm getting sick of. You can't turn on anything without Tom Brady trying to sell you something these days, it seems like. And that, to me, is the part of Tom Brady I'm sick of. I just want to make that part of it clear. Alec is in Denver. Alec, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Good.
All right, so I think with this Jordan documentary, we were able to kind of see the difference between Jordan the person and Jordan the player, like the greatest all time from the a-hole. And I hope that now Patriots fans are able to kind of strip away that idolatry with Tom Brady, now he's with Tampa Bay, and see the greatest all time player that he is for just the weirdo that he is. I mean, come on, like the guy selling vitality supplements during a pandemic, and he's kissing his dad on the lips, and I don't know. He gives me the creeps.
Okay, like, so I mean, Alec, honestly, I you know, how he shows affection for his father doesn't bother me. Maybe it bothers you. I mean, I don't kiss my parents on the lips, but, you know, about the only person I kiss on the lips is my wife. And I shouldn't say about. I think that's it. I mean, if she found out that I even said about, she'd probably flip out about that. I mean, I don't know about you, Murray. You sticking your face on someone else's mouth?
No, I am not. No. but in terms of, like, the creeps, like, I mean, yeah, I think that Brady's now an unrelatable weirdo off the field. I don't get the creeps from him. That caller wants to feel that kind of way. Fine. I just know it comes down to this. Like, anything that Brady has pitched or has his name on, like, I'm not really interested in buying. Whereas someone like Michael Jordan, and this is the point you were bringing up earlier, like, I've bought Jordan sneakers before. I would buy them again. Like, that's a, you know, I like how they look. That's a cool brand. What Brady is pitching, some of it I find detestable, like this Protect that he's now pitching for $50 to, you know, during the pandemic. I do find that detestable. And the other stuff, it's like, it's overpriced junk. I'm not buying it.
I mean, some of the stuff with Brady, to me, really, I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. I said this yesterday, and all kinds of people got pissed off at me. And so, I'm sorry. I'll say the same thing I said at the top of the show. Go pound Sam with a rubber mallet. I don't give a rat's ass. The Tom Brady has become selfish and self-absorbed in the last couple of years. He's become all in all about him, and I don't see how you could possibly look at it objectively and think anything but. Now, again, I understand why it has happened. He's the most accomplished football player of all time. And to Murray's point, if we're going to compare brand power, TB12 versus the Air Jordan, please. He doesn't even belong in the same conversation.
I just want to bring something up about that, Tony. If you remember the documentary that they had about the Dream Team years ago, like Jordan was this big figure. Magic Johnson was there. Larry Bird was there. It was actually Charles Barkley who was like the polarizing figure that was there. And you would think that it was Michael Jordan and all that. I know you're comparing the two. It was just weird that it was that big group, like those great players. But it was Charles Barkley that the fans ran to and loved his colorful personality. And maybe that was just the group at the time. But when it comes to Tom Brady, like, I don't want to bring up the Major League 2 movie and Wild Thing going from that to dating the hot chick and then becoming like the pretty boy or whatever like that. But the biggest thing with Tom Brady is his play has dramatically gotten worse, I think, since he started pitching these things. I know they won a Super Bowl, but they ran the ball and played defense to win that Super Bowl. Granted, he played well in that game, but overall, his play has gotten worse since he started pitching this stuff.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think Jim Murray, to me, uses the word unrelatable when it comes to Brady and some of these projects. And to me, that's the right word. I mean, who hasn't bought a pair of sneakers? We've all bought sneakers. Michael Jordan is way more relatable than Tom Brady was. And I told you, I think Peyton Manning is too. So, and this doesn't mean that I don't appreciate what Brady gave to New England or to the Patriots or Boston or any of that, because I do. He's the greatest athlete maybe in the history of the city, and certainly the greatest winner other than Bill Russell. So all of that remains true. But can we stop with the godlike idolatry of this guy? It's a little much to go that far with it. Bill is in Webster. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, hi. I'm getting tired of hearing about LeBron and Michael being the best players ever. The best player ever played for the Celtics, number 6, Bill Russell. He averaged 14 points, 22.5 rebounds, 3.3 assists.
Hey, Bill, how old are you?
Broad shots.
It's Jordan.
How old are you, Bill?
Just say it's Jordan.
Oh, no, it's age. I'm age. I'm 63. I watched Russell in his heyday. And these claims that, you know, he won titles against teams that didn't have anybody. He beat the Lakers 6 times from 59 to 69. Those teams included Elgin Baylor.
Yeah, Bill, I don't want to relive all the rosters of the Lakers. Okay, look, I'm not one of these people that dumps on Russell. Bob Ryan of the Globe, for those of you who remember him, and, you know, and I say remember him, Bob's still alive, obviously, and as knowledgeable as ever. Ryan had the, Murray, have you ever heard this stat? This is the greatest stat ever. Bill Russell, in his career, played in 21 games that were winner-take-all. So that means NBA, Olympics, NCAA tournament. Okay, meaning you win, you either win the series in advance, or you lose, you go home. The equivalent of a Game 7. Okay, it's a winner, go home. Somebody's advancing, somebody's going home. 21 games in his career like that. 21-0. Didn't lose a single one of them. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't lose in the finals or things like that. You're not going to hear me say Russell wasn't one of the great winners of all time. He was. But to get back to the caller, are we really going to start comparing guys from 1960 to 1998
apples and oranges. The game advanced. The players now are better than the ones then. The ones then couldn't shoot. So let's not get stupid about it. You can tell me, you want to tell me that you think Russell was the greatest competitor of all time? Fine. Michael Jordan was a better player. John is in Shrewsbury. Go ahead, John.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to get back to the comparison of Jason Tatum and Luka Doncic, and I'm just going to throw out a number at you, 22 to nothing. Doncic has 22 triple-doubles in his career so far. Tatum has zero. So I wish the Celtics fan would get over the fact that Tatum is an excellent shooter, a mediocre rebounder, and a lousy passer. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Hey, John, what about the defensive end?
What was that?
What about defense? Hello? Anybody there? Hello? What about defense? You know why I didn't bring up defense? Because Doncic sucks on the defensive end. That's why. He sucks defensively. And until this year, I thought Tatum was underachieving. On defense, he's playing better defense now, yeah. Too.
Not many guys play defense in the Western Conference, though.
One other thing, too, is Luka Doncic is a ball-dominant player. Yeah. Tatum has had point guards. Doncic is the point guard in Dallas. That's a very important detail to mention there, especially when it comes to passing the basketball.
It's a good point, Jimmy. Doncic has the ball in his hands all the time. And if you're telling me who has the higher ceiling, I still think, believe it or not, it's Tatum. I think Tatum has size that Doncic doesn't have. He can influence the game on the defensive end if he commits to it. He's not the offensive player that Doncic is. The caller's right about that. But there's a reason why he made the argument just about the offense and didn't include anything else.
And so, Celtics could have had Luka Doncic, but they didn't want to trade Jaylen Brown. How's that looking right now? Who would you rather have, Luka Doncic or Jaylen Brown?
Doncic. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Doncic.
If we're talking defense... You know,
Jaylen, I'm not. Jaylen I'm talking Brown's about a all player, our, but, all yeah. basketball player, Joe.
Doncic is a...
Thank you.
Doncic, yeah.
You know, this reminds me, I don't know about you guys, I left the house today for a little bit. I had to run an errand to head out my dad with something. Boy, people out there are pissy today.
I don't know.
Seriously. Has anyone else noticed this? Everybody's pissy today.
I don't know.
Everybody's pissy today.
I think people were pumped for Memorial Day weekend based on what I saw.
Maybe I can go to my backyard again. Neat.
Yeah, not... Yeah. Good one, Jimmy. I like it. I can tell you that I was pissy today. I've been pissy all day. In any case, agenda-free Friday. We'll continue with your calls when we come back.
Tell your fans. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's say the NHL can resume this season. Play commissioner. What sort of format would you be comfortable with upon a return?
Well, first of all, it needs to be safe. It needs to be... For the players, for the coaches, training staff, everything, it needs to be safe. We can't have any risk of anybody getting this thing. And I think that's going to be our ultimate biggest hurdle. And I think that's going to be the biggest hurdle for every sport coming back.
It's Matt Duchene of the Nashville Predators on with Sportsnet Central in Canada earlier in the week. And I don't want to bash Duchene. I don't want it to sound like I'm bashing Duchene, although on this program it's hard to do because people always assume the worst with us. I get it. If Matt Duchene doesn't want to play hockey, I don't totally blame him. And I still wonder whether this is a bigger issue with some of the leagues out there than we might know. Joe Murray, you said yesterday there was a poll out there that indicated what percentage of NHL players didn't want to come back, 12%?
Yeah, the Athletic had one, I think it was 2 weeks ago. It was 12% of the players. Now, the people that they spoke to were, some of them were locks to get in the playoffs, some of them were on the cusp of making the playoffs, and then some of the players were actually out of the playoffs. So if you look at all that, 66% said that they would like to continue the season. Actually, 66% said they want to go straight to playoffs. And then 12% said they didn't even want to go back. The rest said they wanted some regular season and playoffs. So,
yeah. So that's 1 out of 8, basically.
Yeah.
You know, 12% is 1 out of 8. And I don't doubt that the majority of those guys came from teams at the bottom of the standings, had nothing to play for. And some of those teams may not be coming back based on the scenarios that have been floated out there the last couple of days in the NHL and in the NBA. And again, in the event you missed it, there is a little bit of an update on the NHL scenario. The 31 reps from the players, 31 player reps, rather, from the 31 teams in the league have been voting beginning last night. We may have the results of that vote by the end of the day today. A majority is needed to accept the proposal by NHL, by the league, in which the playoff structure coming back would be as follows. And I'll give you just the Eastern Conference, because obviously that's what affects the Bruins, but, and you can then mirror it to the West. But in the East, the top seeds, Boston, Tampa, Washington, and Philadelphia, all in the playoffs and would all get byes. They would play one another while the other teams were playing in, and there would be a little play-in series between Pittsburgh and Montreal, Carolina and the Rangers, the Islanders and Florida, Toronto and Columbus. And depending on whether the Bruins end up as the one seed or the two, and they are the one, and that may not change, they would face either the winner of the Toronto-Columbus series or the winner of the Islander-Florida series. They would, under none of those scenarios, would they face the Montreal Canadiens, based on what's out there today, in case you had interest in that.
And I like hearing that, yeah.
Yeah, Murray's happy, with good reason, because Murray, you're still traumatized by your youth from the Bruins games against the Canadiens.
I mean, not even my youth, just 7 years ago, when the Canadiens were an inferior team and beat the Bruins that year in the 13-14 in the playoffs, which was something I grew up in, with you know, the fear of the Canadiens, even if they were the lesser team, not knocking off the Bruins in the playoffs. And as far as Columbus or Toronto, I mean, Toronto essentially would be playing with house money in a lot of ways. Like, it's a suck draw for them anyway, but, you know, they have so much speed and youth on that team that they can go into that series against Columbus. Like, we're getting screwed here anyway. I feel like they'd be a little bit more loose. But still, they're the Maple Leafs, and I like them even if it went 7 games against the Bruins over them in 7 games. And Columbus, I don't know. I don't fear them that much. So I think the Bruins, this is advantageous for them because they don't have to face Montreal, and I think they can beat either of those two teams.
Toronto's scary. I mean, they got a lot of talent on that team. You know, and look at the NHL, right? There's been a different winner every single year. People didn't think St. Louis would do it a year ago. So if the NHL does continue, I think it's a wide open field, and I actually wouldn't favor the Bruins to win it. I wouldn't.
So, Joe, why wouldn't you favor them? Just because of you believe in the strength of the field and the difficulty of winning the championship?
Yeah, I just think in history, history shows the top teams don't necessarily win in the NHL. I know the Chicago was great for years, but, you know, things have changed. There's been a different winner almost every other year going forward. It just as a better, I wouldn't bet on the Bruins.
Okay, so that's not really a Bruins thing. It's more of a I would take the field kind of thing.
Exactly. Like a team like Colorado, that would be a team I'd look at to come out of nowhere to win.
Okay, again, largely caller-driven on Agenda-Free Friday, so 617-779-0985. We'll go back to the phones now. John's in Stoughton on MLB. John, what do you got?
Yeah, look, I'm just going to say straight out, I'm not a MLB guy. I really don't watch much baseball, but at this point, I'll watch just about anything. I mean, I'm stuck between watching the grass grow and wondering when I can advertise myself as new Marlboro Man, how many cigarettes I'm smoking. So I'm just bored out of my mind, and I'll watch anything at this point. Get a couple of 12-year-olds out there swinging bats. I don't care.
Okay, so look, Murray, let me ask you this question, because, again, I know you're not, at your core, a huge baseball fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so take away all the, you know, the hatred for the players and everything else. Doesn't baseball have an opportunity here? Like, if they could have ever been the first ones back, don't you think there was an opportunity there for them, given that a lot of people feel like that caller?
they've had the best opportunity, especially when it comes to, you know, the spatial aspects of the game. You don't have to really worry about the 6 feet apart and all of that kind of thing. Yeah, there's some safety measures that have to be applied, but you can apply that to any avenue of life right now. So they should already be talking about when they're starting in the middle of next month, and they're still bitching about, you know, the money back and forth between the owners and the players. It's ridiculous.
I mean, they really do have the easiest road back. And given all the stuff that we're hearing now that the NBA is going to start calling players back on June 1, shouldn't baseball players be ready to go on June 1?
Yep.
And when I say ready to go, they should be in camp on the field ready to go. Like, you know, if they have to take the 2 week quarantine before that, then they should have already been in there. Baseball should be way ahead on this thing, and they're not. Our buddy Tony is in Stoneham. Go ahead, Tony. What do you got?
Tony, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I want to make some comments about Brady. You guys are going to go all over him this year now because he left the team. The fans in Massachusetts are going to love the Patriots like they always have. They're going to be rooting for the Patriots. They're also going to be rooting for him. And I do not believe that he would have left if Belichick was different. I'll tell you what made him leave. He didn't like the fact that the defensive back didn't play in the last Super Bowl, because I think that cost him the game.
Malcolm Butler, yep. Do.
Malcolm Butler. And I think what's his name, Belichick pushed him out. That's what happened with him.
Okay, so Tony, look, and I'm going to let you go. The other day, Murray, you remember this, we had a poll the other day that indicated that basically, and you're going to have to help me, Murray, on the particulars, but 20% of all Patriots fans give the team what? A year before that they'll jump off the bandwagon if the Patriots have a bad year?
Oh, yeah, it was like 3%, something like that.
Okay, but there was a number of that approaching 3% said they wouldn't give the Patriots any time at all.
I think. After like 2 months or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Right, I think all in all, it was about 20% that said if the Patriots got off to a bad start or had a bad year, they're out. So I mentioned that because Tony in Stoneham says people here will continue to be Patriots fans and they'll continue to root for Brady. Not really, at least as far as relates to the Patriots. Some will drop off. Now, I don't think it's going to be this, you know, end of the world scenario in which the Patriots go back to what they were in 1982 or even 1992 before Bledsoe, before Parcells. I don't think you're going to see that. They're still going to be the number one team in town, but there are going to be people that drop off right out of the gate, because there's always the fraud factor in any fan base. And let's not kid ourselves, Boston, there's a fraud factor here too. Okay, so as much as we like to think we're the cat's ass and we're the best sports city in America, and we probably are, maybe we're the best sports city in the world, there is still a fraud factor here. Don't dismiss that, because it absolutely exists. Quickly, Tim in Dorchester on Jason Tatum. Go.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I just want, usually, Maz, I agree with you on a lot of topics, but you guys got to be kidding me with Doncic and Tatum comparison. Doncic, before the season, you know, the whole COVID thing, was up for MVP and averages a triple-double. I know Tatum's defense may be slightly better, but 28-9-7 is, I'd take that over Tatum any day.
So, Tim, Doncic is a better player right now, at least on the offensive end.
Right,
I agree.
Right. And
okay, what about long term?
You forget how young Doncic is, maybe, and I know he played in over in the European League, and he won titles when he was like 17, 18 years old when he was
older.
Yeah,
I don't care about titles he won in the European League. I'm going to let you go.
Put it this way. If you're looking at a kid who's a volume scorer like Doncic is, and I love his game, but lacks defensive skills, say his upside is James Harden, and the upside for Jason Tatum is a more athletic Paul Pierce, which of those two players would you rather have?
Who was the first one again?
If the comp for Doncic, and I'm just throwing it, would be James Harden,
yep,
and the comp for Tatum is a more athletic Paul Pierce, which of those two players would you rather have? And I'd rather
Tatum.
Have, yeah, me too. I'd rather have a guy that's going to be a more athletic Paul Pierce.
And I think Stephen A. compared it to Durant, that Tatum's upside could be that.
That's a bit much.
But I mean, he can shoot.
Yeah.
Again, I think the biggest problem with Jason Tatum is he plays power forward. He's not a power forward. And it's because of the team that he's on, to Jimmy's point. What Doncic does, he's the point guard. Porzingis is not even the big man on that team. He's not even up to par what he used to be when Maz liked him way back when. Like, Dallas is not a good team, and Doncic does everything for them. Literally everything. He gets hurt too much, and long term, I just don't think he's not going to play 82 games a year where I think Tatum can.
See, the caller makes the same mistake that everybody makes, and I say this a million times. Volume stats in the NBA don't mean jack. They don't mean jack. Anybody in that league can score 25 a night if they take 30 shots. Yeah. Anybody can do it. I mean, most guys, not anybody, but a lot of them. It doesn't mean anything. So, like, I don't give a rat's ass what the numbers are and the triple doubles and everything else. Watch the guy play and say, can he affect or impact the game in a significant way on both ends of the floor? Those are the superstars. There's like eight of them in the league, if that. The numbers don't mean squat. I've seen a million guys put up numbers in that league who suck. And my opinion on that will never change. But some people can only go by the numbers. Okay? Not that I have the keenest eye in the world, but it's not just about the numbers. Even I know that.
So, Maz, Doncic improved the Mavericks by 11 wins his first season as a rookie, and right now they're standing at 40-27. So he matters in the win category as well as the triple-double numbers.
Absolutely, Jimmy Stewart. And look, I would tell you that I think Doncic makes other guys better. He makes his team better. He's a good team player, particularly on the offensive end. On the defensive end, I don't know. I mean, maybe he understands the framework of team defense. But one-on-one, he's a mismatch waiting to happen for the team on offense. He's a mismatch waiting to happen. Defensively, he's just not quick enough. So, Joe Murray's got your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Listen, I thought it was harsh when I first looked at it. I said, wow, you know, come on. And but then I started talking to myself. Danielle, DJ, Curran, I started talking to myself. And I said, okay, the New England Patriots let their starting quarterback walk out the door. They replaced him with either a unproven fourth-round pick or a couple of undrafted free agents they picked up after the draft, or Brian Hoyer. That alone. I didn't say that quarterback was the greatest quarterback of all time, but that statement alone gives you an F. I didn't mention Kyle Van Noy.
Think about that. If the Redskins did that, if the Panthers did that with Cam Newton, you'd be outraged. This is Brady. I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I interrupted because presenting it that way makes me go, meanwhile, you lose Jamie Collins, DJ, and you lose Kyle Van Noy. And I understand you lose them because, you know, they're good, not over the moon. And Jamie Collins is going to revert. But this is talent that's gone out the door. And it's not like the guys coming behind him are banging on the door to get in.
From Boston Sports Tonight earlier in the week on NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran gave the Patriots an F for their offseason, and many people believe that the Patriots have had among the worst offseasons in the NFL. Was it Bill Barnwell, Jim Murray, ESPN, that had them 30th?
Yeah.
Among the 32 teams?
Yeah.
Joe Murray began the program today by saying, according to Pro Football Focus, the Patriots receiving core ranks 30th out of 32 teams in the league, and I mention that because I think it relates to their offseason and where they are right now. And just quickly, I know we touched on this, but Jim Murray, Joe Murray, what grade would you give the Patriots for their offseason?
I'd probably go C minus D. I wouldn't give them an F. No, I'm being serious.
Way too high.
I think they had a really good draft. I really do.
You know, how could you know that, Joe?
I watch college football. See, this is the thing, right? I get crap about this. Oh, the draft is not a sporting event. Like, I watch college football. The players that they got are actually going to make an impact. Duggar, I don't think, will right away. I don't think he will, but I think they have Uche can make a play on the outside. Him and Winovich were impact players at Michigan. We saw a little bit of Winovich last year. I think the kid that they got from Alabama could make an impact right away. Like, defensively, I think these players can play, and I think they helped out on the offensive line. But, you know, do I know? No, I don't know. Did could Juice help last year? No. Did the other guys help last year? No. I like what they did in the draft. I think it's going to help them. But, you know, I still think there's other players they can go out and sign. I think they can get better. But, you know, I do think that maybe the Brady thing last year, like, Brady didn't want to throw to certain receivers. Stidham's going to throw to those receivers. I think the running game will be better because they have a fullback. So, you know, I think the Bills will be their biggest competition. But overall, the defense is still good, and I think they can still win the AFC East.
And for me, without really factoring in the draft, because I don't want to grade the draft because I don't know, and I certainly don't watch college football as much as Joe, I'm going to give them a D, just in terms of the free agents they brought in. Like, and I am going to factor in not to contradict myself, but I'm going to factor in the draft just a hair by saying that they didn't take a wide receiver in what is the most rich wide receiver draft, maybe in the history of the NFL, is just negligent to me. Even if it was in the fifth or sixth round, like, take someone.
I agree with that.
So, like, I would just say, who have they signed as a free agent that we like?
I like the kid Bo, the defensive lineman they got. I think he's someone who can help made an impact.
Bo Allen?
Bo Allen. I think he can make
Bo
an
Allen
impact.
Bo Allen get you a C-?
What am I going to give an F because Brady left and they ate the cap? Is that what you want to hear?
Yep.
I think that's a lazy take. Lazy.
It's not a lazy take.
Lazy.
No, it's a realistic take. What's to like about their offseason?
Adrian Phillips. Yeah. That guy's a contract.
He's going to help
patriot.
Out.
I like him.
You were able to trade Daron Harmon because of it. Like,
I'm not telling you that it can't change. I'm just telling you that right now, I think their offseason has sucked.
Yeah,
there isn't one thing that I can look at and say, well, that's a sure thing.
But do you think anything's going to change with their impact? Like, in the AFC East, do you think they still can win the AFC East?
Sure.
Okay, then. Like, this is a year where they're up against it in the cap. Next year, they have $100 million to do whatever they want.
Yeah, so but I'm not talking about next year. I'm talking about their current offseason.
Current offseason. They still can win the AFC East.
And, Joe, why are they up against it with the cap?
Well, that's because, you know, I think the Brady issue is one, but they made some bad signings. They swung and missed on so many things. Antonio Brown, they swung and missed on. A lot of things you could line up. Mohamed Sanu, stinks. They swung and missed on that. Hopefully, I don't know. We'll see if he comes back and makes some sort of impact.
I mean, they're so up against it. They've so badly mismanaged their cap situation that they had to talk Patrick Chung out of retirement to free up a little cap space, which is alternative number one. Or the second reason they signed Chung is what, Jimmy Stewart?
Hush money.
I think they tried to make Brady happy and things didn't work out either.
Their offseason has sucked. It has sucked. Jeff in Abington on the NHL, return to the NHL. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I have to laugh when players say we want to make sure they're safe. You know, they're young guys in their 20s or 30s. Even if they get the virus, it's going to be like a cold. I mean, I don't understand it. You know.
Okay, but Jeff, don't you think that there are at least some cases out there of young people getting this virus and having health issues that maybe aren't as acute as they are with older people, but that still
yeah,
offer some things to be concerned about?
Yeah, but if you get hurt playing hockey, I mean, is that to be concerned about?
Okay, but again,
stay in houses for the rest of our lives because of this stupid virus?
So, Jeff, I hear you. I hear you. I'm just telling you it's a little different, okay? It's a little bit different. And if we're increasing the risk of getting the virus by going out into certain public places, we're not going to do that, right? And it being in these environments playing puts the players at greater risk regardless of their age. I'm not going to sit here and call these guys sissies. I'm not going to do it because I have my concerns about going back into the workplace. And granted, I'm not 28 years old and in my physical prime. I'm close, Murray, but I'm not in my physical prime.
You're
but
right.
Look, again, you can't blame someone for having human fears. I don't think that's realistic. Dan in the car. Dan, what do you got?
Listen, my last name's Brady, and for the past 20 years, I've been spoiled, and Tom Brady's been my favorite Brady in the world. Right now, I wouldn't save him if he was drowning. I'm a Patriots fan, plain and simple. As far as I'm concerned, I hope Brady breaks his back on the first snap.
Okay, what did he say at the end, Murray?
I don't know. It was all muffled. Did something break? whatever.
That Brady breaks his back? Is that what he said?
Might have been. I don't know. I'm not going
to. Yeah, we don't need to go that far. Let's not get ridiculous about it. Dennis in Warwick, Rhode Island. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, this is a popularity between our friend Brady. And how many Super Bowls did he play? 9 Super Bowls. How many people have watched those Super Bowls? Millions all over the world. And how many people have seen Jordan play? I don't think it's a comparison. That's number one.
Dennis, stop for a second. When you say it's not a comparison, meaning more people have seen Jordan than saw Brady, or the other way around?
More people saw Brady than Jordan.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that.
No shot.
I don't
believe that. Or just in terms of as a brand, do you think that Brady's more iconic than Jordan?
Brady's much more iconic than Jordan. And I'll tell you why. Football is America's game, and it's the world game. They watch it all over the world.
Really?
And I know basketball is, you know, in the Olympics now. But when Jordan was playing, he didn't bring basketball back. Los Angeles and Boston brought basketball back. People didn't even want to look at basketball before that. They had competition. And when L.A. and Boston left the scene, then basketball kind of recited. And
hey, Dennis, I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second because I want to ask you a very simple question, then I'm going to let you go. What is a more powerful brand, Air Jordan or TB12? What is the more powerful brand?
Air Jordan.
Okay, well, there you go. We agree.
So then we all agree then. Because it comes down to this. Like, you want to quibble about the sports and their popularity? Fine. All right, you might be right. I might be right. Whatever. But the bottom line is, in terms of an icon, has Tom Brady ever sold anything with his name on it that sold out in minutes within being on sale? No. Has Tom Brady ever tried to sell or brand anything that people have lined up for the night before to buy? No, and he never will.
Uggs
Jordan has,
or
and
Air
Jordan,
Jordans.
Yeah, right. Uggs or Air Jordans. There you go. Perfect way to encapsulate it. Jordan's the bigger icon. It's okay to say Brady's my favorite athlete ever, ever, ever. He's all I ever dreamed of rooting for as a sports fan growing up around here. Is he as big of an icon as Michael Jordan off the field? No, and he never will be.
Yeah, see, I think the caller, he's getting his wires crossed, and he's a Brady fan, which I get. First of all, basketball is a more international game than American football is. To me, I think that's a fact. So I don't know where they're playing basketball all over the world now. The simple truth is that they don't play football everywhere. And so you want to talk about, in this country, the popularity of the NFL, no question, number one. Globally, Michael Jordan, did I read correctly that Michael Jordan still makes something like $100 million a year from Air Jordan with
That's
Nike?
That's correct. Yeah.
Correct. Yep. Lifetime.
20 years after he retired, basically, from the Bulls anyway, that he's still making $100 million a year from the Air Jordan brand. I mean, think about that for a second. Okay, it's preposterous. He's making more off of shoe deals than LeBron James, who's obviously still in the league and has been the most dominant player in the world for 15 years.
Reading from Forbes, Jordan earned an estimated $130 million from Nike last year. That's 4 times as much as LeBron James, who has the biggest shoe deal among active NBA players.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, you know, for a guy like that to say Brady is bigger than Jordan as a cultural phenomenon is just, to me, is asinine. Anyway, 617-779-0985. There's actually an event this weekend that you can bet on. And we have Joe Murray on the program, which will bring us to our DraftKings pick of the week. We'll do that when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the DraftKings Bet of the Week.
All right, here we go. DraftKings Pick of the Week. Just a reminder, DraftKings has $100,000 up for grabs this weekend. You can download the DraftKings app now. Use the code SportsHub during sign-up. And play for free today. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Our thanks to the people at DraftKings, a presenting sponsor of the Felger and Mazz Show. We have limited things to gamble on. But there is an event this weekend that I think is going to certainly garner the interest of a lot of the, you know, fraud fans out there, dare I say. Joe Murray, a big golf event over the weekend involving a couple of great golf pros, a couple of great quarterbacks. We all know who it is. Just quickly, Jim Murray, are you at all interested in this thing?
Not a bit.
Yeah, not many people are. So, nonetheless, believe it or not, there are gambling lines on it. And Joe Murray, is this the biggest event that interests you from the weekend?
No.
What is?
I don't know. I might bet on some Bundesliga. You know, it might be something I'll take a look at this weekend. I don't know. Maybe I'll do some side bets on hot dogs or, I don't know, something like that. But, yeah, the match this weekend. And by the way, I know we'll do a few odds here, but Saturday morning, 7 a.m., the DraftKings Over-Under show, myself and Dan Lifshatz will check that out, and we'll be recapping this whole thing. But the odds right now, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, minus 225. So the average fan, $225 for $100 if you think Woods-Manning wins. I personally lean the underdog, and Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady at plus 170. So that's the odds to win it.
So stop real quickly there, Joe. So the payoff on the underdogs here is not great.
No, but it's juicy. I mean, what would you rather put up 225 or put 100 to win 170?
Okay, but again, it's not, you know, it's not like you're have the chance for a significant score there. It's, you know, it's not lopsided. I wouldn't call that lopsided.
But this one might be a little juicy. Will Tiger Woods wear a red shirt for this weekend's match? Minus 600 yes, plus 350 no.
Okay, so that one interests me. Go ahead. We'll get back to that in a second. What's the last one?
All right, I didn't bring this one up yet. I thought it was fairly interesting, but will Tom Brady wear a TB12 hat?
Yes.
For the tournament? Minus 400, yes. Plus 280, no.
So it's more. So Vegas is telling us it's more likely that Tiger will wear,
no,
will wear
Brady.
Red.
Tom. Oh, yeah, yes, yes, for that one.
Then Tom Brady will wear a TB12 hat?
Correct.
Oh, bullcrap. Bullcrap. What's more likely is Brady will wear that TB12 hat. Joe, Jim Murray, don't you agree?
Yeah, that's a lock that he's going to do that.
Okay, so to me, Joe Murray, you know what the best bet is on all the stuff you just read? Tiger not wearing the red. You'd bet 100 to make 350?
Yeah, 100 for 350 on that one.
Wow, am I a degenerate if I actually bet that?
No.
What else is there to bet on? Gives you a reason to tune in, too.
Well, I don't want to watch. I mean, it gives me a reason to watch the first 5 seconds, Murray. If he's wearing a white shirt at the beginning, I'm good. I turn it off. It's over. Yeah. That's sort of the extent of it as far as I'm concerned.
I'll give you.
But if it's reached a stage where I have to bet on what Tiger Woods is wearing, I'm starting to wonder if I have myself a Michael Jordan problem.
And I got one if you want to just throw a little shackles around. Will there be a hole in one? No, minus 10,000, plus 900, yes. $25, plus 900. Boom. Hole in one.
You only get plus 900 for a hole in one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet that.
Oh, no, it's the other way around. You mean no is plus 900?
No. If there is one, it's plus 900. No is minus 10,000.
Oh, you got a late 10,000 and make
100 bucks.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, there you go. That is the DraftKings pick of the week. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, is Gasper here?
He is.
You've got to be kidding. He's on
present and accounted for and about to be wiping down epically.
Well, Gasper sent a what I would call a slightly contentious email this morning in the show email exchange. We'll tell you that it was Tom Brady related. I see a number of you lined up with phone calls that you want to get to. So we'll certainly invite you into the program as well. Don't go anywhere. No commercials here. Longest commercial-free segment. Joe Murray has the latest developments from the NBA and the NHL, which is voting today on whether to accept
news, breaking news, Maz, as well in the NFL.
Oh, okay, well, fire it up, Joe. Get to it. Go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.